I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
Anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome back to the podcast, friends. We have ants.
We do. We have ants. Ben's looking at me like he wants to re-record that intro, but honestly, I think that's the best way to intro this episode.
Look, guys, we got ants.
We have ants.
Lots of them.
Ben and I both have ants in our respective homes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not close to each other.
Mm-mm.
They're not related.
Mm-mm.
They just both have ants.
Yep.
It sucks.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Ugh.
And my ants came fresh after a house cleaning, like a serious deep house cleaning.
Yeah, your
like
house was clean.
Yeah. Like, I shouldn't have ants. I mean,
no,
I,
you shouldn't have ants.
No.
They were in a weird place, too. They were by your couch.
There were some.
Maybe
there.
There's a piece of food under your couch. Have you checked?
No, but I had eaten. Like, but I cleaned that couch. Like, I mean, yes, it is possible.
Yeah.
I did recently have an incident where. I bought a bag of organic licorice and I picked it up off the counter upside down and they all fell on the ground.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I did notice that I was finding them underneath the couch and stuff. But I think just they're kind of everywhere and some of them seem to like it over by the TV. Most of them are still like in the kitchen.
Ants are into electricity.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like a weird thing about ants is like if you have like a phone charger or something, like sometimes ants will be attracted to your phone charger. So I feel like with ants, the kind of good thing about ants is that like usually they're all trailing towards something. If you like eliminate that little like scrap of food, then like they'll go away.
Yeah.
But sometimes that thing is electricity.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
That is strange. Where are your ants mostly?
In the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had like it's the creepy thing is like they're crawling out of cracks in our walls.
Yeah,
like
me too.
We had a bunch for a while. Like kind of crawling out of the corner of our kitchen wall. And I put a bunch of that tack that you use to like stick up posters in college.
Yeah.
I put a bunch of that in the wall and they're not coming out of there anymore. But now they're coming out of like where in our sink where there should be grout or whatever. And it's like it's fallen off because our house is old.
Yeah.
Ants are coming out of that crack in our sink, which for some reason that grosses me out.
Yeah. No, that grosses me out, too.
I just imagine our walls inside our house are teeming with ants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably are. I mean, it seems like ants come in the millions. It's just that's how they work.
Yeah.
You never see one ant.
It'd
be weird to just see one ant just hanging out by himself. They're in packs. They go for the food. They all seem to come in numbers. And what I've noticed is they come, like, instantaneously. Like, I'll throw, like, a peach pit in like a garbage bag. I keep just like brown paper bags near the sink and then I'll throw them out every single day. And if I throw the first thing that I throw in there within I would say a half hour swarming with ants.
Yeah.
And they're all over the kitchen and then like I'll notice like that I'll often have like this feeling like the ants are crawling on my body, which is just like insanity.
Yep.
But it isn't. The ants have been crawling on my exactly. Yeah, Aunt Sandy.
Yeah.
Aunt Sandy, they actually do crawl over my body. I like find them and occasionally I'll find them like I'll be driving in the car and I'll look down and like there are those ants just like crawling on my arm. They've treated me like transportation at this point.
Yeah, they don't bother me as much as like I'm kind of okay with them because actually I googled recently like people being killed by ants. And all of the times people have been killed by ants, it's usually by, like, fire ants.
Yeah, fire ants are bad.
But I've stumbled upon an article that said ants themselves actually don't really carry disease. Like, so if, like, an ant's crawling on a cookie or whatever, you can brush the ant off and eat that cookie. It's not like a fly that's, like, constantly, like, vomiting the dog shit it just ate onto its legs and rubbing it on, like, on whatever it's standing on. Like, ants are pretty clean. And also... So my husband Ben was worried that ants were going to crawl in his ears at night and lay eggs.
Yeah.
And for some reason I was not worried about that. But we Googled it just to double check, and ants don't, only the queen lays eggs, I guess.
Okay.
So like those like little worker guys, like, you know, I guess they're, it could theoretically crawl in your ear, but like it's not that big of a deal because it's not going to lay a bunch of eggs.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's the best news I've heard all day.
It's not been a good day.
Well, we have an awesome guest today. Yeah. Should we march on to the interview?
Yes, I'll march right out of this podcast. Yes, let's march on with our interview. Nice. We have a great guest for you today, folks. He is the academic supervisor here at UCBLA. Maybe you know him from there. Maybe you know him from Boondoggle on ABC.com, soon to be available on Hulu. You might know him from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend or Sentimental Ladies, which is featured here at the UCB Theater in Franklin. Is it the Franklin one?
Franklin.
Franklin, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Or maybe you just know him from being a great guy. He's Johnny Meeks. Welcome, welcome, Johnny. Thanks so much for being here.
What a great intro, buddy.
Thank you. Thank
Wasn't
you.
That a great intro?
That it was caused, like, one take, and you nailed it.
Yeah.
It caused me no stress, and now I feel no shame.
Yeah, you're very relaxed. Yeah. This is not something you consistently dread.
I've got those deep sweats of a relaxed man.
You can just take a break now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to close your eyes for a little while?
So let's start talking about heart palpitations. Anyone else? Anyone else?
No, so, Johnny, let's just, like, jump right into it.
Let's jump right into it.
With our first question. We ask it to everybody. It's a chill question to get things started. Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you fear death?
I know you asked this question, so I've been thinking about it.
Oh, good.
But let me clarify something.
Yes.
Do you mean, like, you're just talking about my own death?
Just death, the concept of death. Like, how much does it, like, scare you on a daily basis?
If you have a different gauge for your death versus someone else's, tell us. This doesn't have to be a short answer.
All of this is changed when you have kids, by the way.
We're very interested.
Yes, we're very curious about that.
So the general concept of death, like, goes way up. When you have the fear of it goes way up
of your own or just of
people dying around you and your own.
You think about it.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's like you're suddenly responsible for another human life, you know?
Right.
And you are worried about their safety constantly. I never really thought about earthquakes until I had kids, and now I constantly do.
Really?
And I'm constantly checking pictures on the wall, and like, how fast is this going to come off?
What's
the terminal velocity of this piece of art?
So parenthood is a lot of thinking about terminal velocity.
There's a lot of math. I'm terrible at it.
Go back to school, people. You want to have kids, go back to school.
You got to know terminal velocity.
Yeah. I would say before I had kids, it would have been low. I rarely thought about it.
Yeah. You
know, but now, quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think about it quite a bit.
So
I guess, like, they're 9 and 6.
Okay.
I guess like a 7 or 8. I think it's up there.
Yeah.
But it's not like a daily obsession.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
And what number would you have given before children?
Maybe a 4.
Okay. So more on the side of relaxed.
Yeah.
But still aware of it. You've always been.
For sure.
Yeah. Conceptually, it's like it's always been present. Like you're not. Because we've talked to some people who really seem like they're the wander into traffic kind of people. Like in that, I think Madeline and I to some extent are. Like when we are at our calmest about death, it's almost that we're not even aware of the concept that we could be taken. You know?
Yeah.
Like but you've always been aware that you could be taken.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm aware of mortality. Yeah, totally.
Do you, like, when you think about something happening to you, do you now frame it in terms of, like it's scarier if something happens to you because then you won't be around to take care of your kids?
Yeah, I think there's just, you're just wondering, like, what would what would my wife do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Would she move? Would she, you know? Yeah. And
would she move? That's your first question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is she waiting until I die to tell me she doesn't like this?
I think she might be. I think she might be. I mean, I think she would. She would go back to, you know, she lives, her family's from Minnesota. And
okay. Oh, she'd move to a different city. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Not this apartment.
For some reason, yeah. I was like, I felt like she'd get a different house.
We don't need a bigger, right. We don't need as much space.
We've got all
the smaller house, yeah.
No Johnny around. So where are you from?
I grew up in St. Louis.
Okay.
So in the city or in a suburb outside?
In a suburb.
What suburb?
Webster Groves.
My cousins are from Kirkwood. Is that close?
Oh, that's our rival.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Wow. If you're listening, the File family, I got a rival. No. My Aunt Kathy, she's in the same family, but she lives in Cleveland. She's an avid listener.
Oh, nice.
Hey, Aunt Kathy. She told me a very fun story the other day how she forgot to, like, her Bluetooth was, like, connected to her car, and she didn't realize. So, like, when she, like, turned on her car, it was, like, my voice, and she was like, ah!
that happens to me all the time. I'll be listening to, like, half the podcast, then have to leave, go out to the car, turn it on, and then there'll be voices in the car, and I will spin around wondering who is in the back of my car waiting to get it. Because I routinely think someone's in the back of my car.
And you think it's yourself because you're listening to our podcast?
That makes sense. I don't recognize my own voice.
Oh, this is a weird thing. This is really an unrelated tangent, but I'm currently in a commercial for vaginal cleansing wipes.
Yeah, true story.
And the voiceover on that commercial is not me, but it sounds exactly like me.
Yeah.
Like, to the point that I knew I did not, like, say the words. Like, I never did a voiceover recording session, but when I see the commercial, I think it's my voice.
That's weird.
Why didn't they just use you?
I don't know. Yeah.
Because you have a great voice.
You have that thick Korean accent.
Oh, yeah. I do have a thick accent. It's problematic.
I like it. Yeah. It's charming.
Thanks. Yeah, Thanks.
It's lovely.
Do you consider yourself a hypochondriac or no?
No.
And how often do you get sick?
Not very. I am just getting over an illness. But that's been, like, maybe the only one I've had in, like, 2 years.
What kind of illness?
Everybody in my house was throwing up this
week.
Oh,
no.
I never got there. So I was, like, the one in charge, which is bad.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah. Did you have to clean up a ton of throw up?
No. Everyone was great about getting it in the toilet. Which was, like, thank God.
That's great.
But when my wife is sick, this is kind of like a gender normative thing or whatever. Yeah. The house falls apart.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not good at handling this.
Yeah.
And both girls were sleeping in the same full size bed. And my wife didn't want to get out of bed and get them sick. So I had to go in and deal with them when they kept waking up.
Yeah.
And eventually I just curled up on the foot of the bed like a dog and slept there for like 3 hours before the sun came up. Wow. So, yeah, I'm exhausted.
So that's,
and tired.
Yeah,
and
you must be the most tired.
Yeah,
that was last night?
That was 2 nights ago.
Is everybody on the up now?
They're on the mend, yeah.
Oh, that's.
Yeah. No, but I rarely get sick.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare.
That's great.
Take good care of them.
Yeah. Do you think you're just lucky, or do you, like, take good care of yourself?
I was thinking about that. I don't take great care of myself, but I have been doing better over the last few years. But partially, like, I think it was, I was sick a lot in my 20s, or just like a normal amount, I think, because I hated my life and I hated my job.
What was happening in your 20s?
Well, just like what everyone else was doing, like waiting tables and
Were you in LA?
In my 20s, I lived in D.C.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing theater there and some comedy and just shit was miserable. In the first few years, I lived out here. And I think that really, I mean, that's not a surprise, but it really affects your health. And you're also, like, now when I get a little sick like I am now, I'm like, I'll just push through.
Yeah. Right.
Whereas before my life got good, I was like,
it's true.
Oh, I won't be in till Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to skip their, I mean, you're being modest. You were a senator in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, but a shitty state. Yeah.
I mean,
you were a senator
job.
At
you
Applebee's in
it.
Washington, D.C. Yeah, but there is, like, I remember as a child that every stomach ache made me want to skip school.
Yeah.
Not because the stomach aches weren't a problem. School was the problem.
Yeah.
School was bad. Yeah. They were not good to me. Guys, they were not good to me. No, but now, yeah, you don't want to give up your opportunities.
Yeah.
And also, you have children that you have to take care of.
Right.
You can't. There's those commercials about how dad can't take a day
off.
Oh,
yeah.
And he talks to his baby.
Yeah.
And says, yeah, very confusing.
Plenty of dads take.
I think plenty of dads take their whole lives off.
Yeah, we're talking about deadbeats at this point. Donnie is not a deadbeat. He's a dog.
Like, curious who that commercial is geared towards. Like, because it feels like it's like trying to be progressive. Like, like moms aren't the only ones who handle a family, but like.
Right. It's geared towards people like me remembering to buy condoms. Yeah, like, cannot allow a
secret
child to enter this
commercial.
World. Yeah, exactly.
I need my 4 days off a week.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sitting pretty at a 3-day work week.
Is there a lot of contagion in your household because of having kids?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And last year was a real rough year for them, to the point where they, by like December, they had both missed 10 days of school.
Oh my gosh.
And were on antibiotics like 4 times. And then we decided, the doctor was like, I think you got to get their tonsils out.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we did that like back to back. And I always thought getting your tonsils out was like getting a tooth pulled or, but it's major.
Yeah.
And they were out for 2 weeks. They were just out for the count.
What was it? So that's like, that's a pretty major surgery, right?
Yeah.
So what was that? And had either of your kids ever had any kind of surgeries before?
Yeah. My oldest daughter, she had hip surgery when she was 2. She had ear tubes put in. So this is like her 3rd surgery that she'd been under.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Totally under.
What's that like?
I
mean, so I guess like even going back to her first surgery was the hip surgery. Right?
Yes. That was the first one.
What does that feel like as a parent having a kid going into surgery?
It's terrifying, as you can imagine, but it is funny to see your kid high, as you've seen from YouTube videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you are at the same time, like, your heart is in your ankles and you're terrified, but then they're just, like, hilariously high. And then when they wheel them away, then that's, like... I just start like a mental clock of I've got to get through 6 hours or how long the surgery.
How long was it? Was it?
I think that surgery was like 4 or 5 hours.
When? What did you do?
Just paced.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just I don't know what I did.
Yeah.
It's just like shut down basically.
Yeah.
Which parent are you? Are you the rock or are you the stressed out one or are you both?
Externally, I'm the rock. Internally, I'm. What's the opposite? The feather.
Yeah. crying baby boy.
You're a feather inside a rock. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would imagine that that there's a probably speaking to that same gender normative thing, that there would be this expectation. Like we were talking in last week's, I got a little injury where just something that happened where I was basically shot in my torso. Not exactly, but
that's not a little injury.
No, it was, you
weren't shot.
I was shot.
A resistance band snapped off the wall. At
oh, you were shot, man. What's wrong with you?
Madeline, what you know is less than nothing.
Are you okay?
You just provided no context and said you were basically shot.
That's what happened was I was basically shot. I wasn't shot. I was basically shot.
You poorly phrased an analogy and made it sound like you had been literally shot.
You pulled the rug out from underneath me.
I don't know.
Anyway, tell the story of you being shot.
So I was shot. I'm trying to remember what the story was now.
About how being a rock.
Oh, yeah. That I when it happened, like, so what happened was I was doing these resistance bands, and they were attached to a wall with a metal clip, and the metal clip detached and shot me in the stomach, and there was quite a bruise and quite a welt, and so clearly it's exactly the same as being shot by a gun by a terrorist.
Agreed.
It's the exact same, and I felt like I had to be really tough about it, like you know, and I didn't want to cry. I mean, I wanted to cry, but I knew that I wasn't allowed to cry as a man. As a man who...
Even in private, though?
I was never in private. I haven't been in private since.
We got to get you in private.
This is the smallest group of people I've been around since it happened. Because I'm convinced that if I go to sleep, I'll get a concussion and I'll die. Because I was shot in the stomach.
In your stomach, no. Which is where concussions are.
Yeah, exactly. Where all the concussion lies. You get that little rumble in your tummy. Like, you think you're hungry? Concussion.
Yeah.
But the point being that, there is something about being a guy that makes you think that you have to be externally
I'm not great at that. I cry quite a bit, but
is your wife a rock or a feather?
When we're a good match because when we're like with the kids, I think I'm really good with like keeping everybody calm.
Yeah,
and she is more present and just like okay with feeling things. Mm-hmm. And then when the kids are gone, it sort of flips.
Oh.
Where I crumble.
Yeah.
And she's there to be the rock for me, you know, kind of thing.
That's such an interesting thing that I feel like I'm realizing more and more is like how much the job of a good parent, at least, is like dealing with things while making it seem like nothing is wrong.
Yeah.
Like just like thinking back to like all of these like experiences, like, you know, I was just talking to my mom when I was back home in June about like the experience of like my grandfather dying and when he was in the hospital and like so much tumultuous shit was going on. Mm-hmm. And like my biggest concern was like, I didn't like our babysitter.
Yeah.
Like that's so hard.
Yeah.
That's such a hard thing to do.
And you don't want to do it so much that you're glossing over, you're painting over. You still want them to experience it and feel the feeling. So you got to kind of thread the needle of, this is a really bad situation, but there's no reason for us to, you know, fall apart about it, you know? Still feel it. Still have that experience, you know, whatever you're feeling is valid. But at the same time, you're okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, can you think of an example of, like, a time that it was really challenging to do that?
And this doesn't sound like as serious as what you're talking about. You said was your grandma?
Oh, it was just my grand. It was like my mom's dad. I was in like second grade, and when he was like, and it was, you know, nothing that was tumultuous for us, but just like now hearing the story, it was like as painful as a parent dying.
Yeah.
You know, like obviously like a painful situation, and it was just like kind of blew my mind how much we were like protected from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what that made me think of is softball.
Naturally,
my oldest daughter, Janie, she's played softball since she was five. So she played it four seasons. And this year she decided she wasn't going to play it anymore. And I was like, I'm not going to fight you anymore.
Yeah.
But this last season, there was a lot of, she started to be aware that she wasn't good at it. And part of the reason she's not good at it is this hip surgery has caused her some body issues, you know. Like she's not a great runner, you know. Uh-huh. And she started to become aware of that. So I was, I'd say every other game, coming into the dugout and giving her the Hoosiers,
right,
Rudy locker room speech of a lifetime. I got really good at it.
Yeah.
But, you know, also always trying not to say, you're an amazing softball player. You know, trying to bring some truth to it.
You know?
That's a hard needle to thread. This may be thinking about this podcast. I think it was last fall she started to become aware of mortality. And that was always like a fear of mine. Like, what do you say in those situations? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of this, like, for those people who are listening, who are thinking about being parents, you do want to just trust that you'll be all right. And,
right.
And that was a fear of mine to talk to her about that. But then when we talked about it, it turned out to be great. It was good. And that's when we're not a religious family, but those are the times where you're like, I kind of wish we were.
Yeah.
And I use that anyway because my dad is a theologian and he's ordained. And I would say things like, well, you know, your granddaddy thinks this about death. What do you think? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And that was a helpful way to talk about it.
What did she say? Like, or what was?
I think she just wanted to accept that there was a heaven. Okay. She just wanted to. And I was like, okay,
that's
you can.
I think that
fascinating.
That's, But I think that's a mature way of looking at heaven, as opposed to just this idea that, like, we've been taught. That, like, I remember when my grandma was dying, having that feeling for the first time in my life that regardless of what I thought, I wanted there to be a good place where my really nice grandma went to. I would like to believe that there's, like, you know, the concept seems foreign when we're just intellectualizing it. But when you think about, like, good people that you know that are no longer with us, you would like to believe that. That good things happen after, that for good people. Like if you live a good enough life, that something positive would come out of it. And obviously, it's different with children. But I guess that was sort of like going back to the bad question, but like figuring out how to tell it or ask it in a better way. It's like when it's your 9-year old daughter. Mm-hmm. So your 9-year old daughter has been through 3 major surgeries at this point, mm-hmm. right? And you have been through 0. You mm-hmm. said right. Mm-hmm. So how do you
I mean, I got a wisdom tooth pulled out. That's a big deal. That's like getting shot. Right? you're a survivor of a shooting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm a bit of an expert. I mean, if you ever need me to talk to your daughter about
surviving a shooting,
this is some very, 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 very extreme situations. I mean, I'm obviously the person that you call. No, but like, how do you broach that subject when you know?
Yeah, well, definitely not. Ahead of these surgeries, or you know,
right.
I mean, my parenting philosophy, it's crazy. I've never said that before in my life. But
my parenting philosophy, yeah, right. Thank goodness.
I don't know that I have one.
I feel like anybody who uses that phrase is probably not a very good thing.
They're a psychopath.
I don't know, yeah.
which is your parenting philosophy.
right. Yeah. But the way I approach it is partly born out of laziness, but also. Born out of like, let them come to me with it.
Right.
I'm not going to sit down and say, okay, now's the time we're going to talk about the fact that you're going to die one day.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. I just mean like after the fact, your 9-year-old daughter has experiences that you don't have.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like, I mean, that's
true.
That's the thing about wisdom is that it doesn't come to us necessarily at a certain age. Mm-hmm. Just you've been lucky that you've been. That, you know, like it would make more sense for your 9-year-old to talk to your 6-year-old because she knows better. Like, and I feel the same way. Like, I mean, obviously, I've never really been shot, or I wouldn't compare the thing that happened at physical therapy to me.
You would probably not be talking about the thing that, you'd be like,
oh, I'd be talking about it constantly. Just not on this, I'd be in Johnny's seat and he'd be hosting.
I do have this story when Janie, the older one, was recovering from. Her tonsillectomy, which again is a way bigger deal than I thought it was. Mm-hmm. She started the second week is worse than the first, by the way, because they start to get scars in their neck.
Yeah.
And you can't like scratch that or do anything about that, which is like a nightmarish scenario to me. And so that started to happen and she started coughing and she broke the scab and started coughing up blood.
Oh, that's
terrifying.
And we didn't know whether that was like a serious opening of the wound or not. So we called the doctor and they were like, well, you know, have her calm down again. And if she's still coughing up blood, you know, in an hour, take her to the hospital. So she was.
Yeah.
And so we got everybody up. This was like 1 a.m. And Janie was on the toilet about to go to the hospital, and her younger sister, who was 6, came in, and she was like, what's wrong? What's going on? And in the moment, this was absolutely devastating and heartbreaking. But as soon as she said this, I was like, this is the most devastating thing I've ever heard her say, but I'm going to tell it on a podcast. It's pretty funny. She just looked at her sister, and she said, Ruby, I'm dying.
Oh, no. Oh, my God, Your daughter's a 10 out of 10.
I started to cry, but I had the wherewithal as a comedian to say, I'm filing this one.
Yeah, yeah. When she lives, I'm telling this on a podcast.
Did she really think she was dying?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, why would she say it?
Do you think she was dying?
No, I didn't think she was. No. Like, that's why it's funny because I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're dying.
I mean, like, it seemed like a safety trip to
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. And she turned out to be totally fine.
Of course.
We didn't even go to the hospital. So.
You didn't even go to the hospital. When I was, I think, 11 or 12, I was playing Little League. And I may have mentioned this on the podcast before. I was playing Little League, and it was my turn to bat. And the kid who had just hit before me said, Ben, it's your turn next. And So I went down to pick up a batting helmet, and when I looked up, he had tossed me his batting helmet, and the front part knocked my teeth out.
Ah!
And it was it was upsetting, but not to the point that I would scream for the entire trip from the field to the car, my life is over. But I did feel that way at the time. And I'm sure that your daughter, having no concept of what dying is like, this is probably what dying. I'm puking. If I was puking up blood right now, I'm in my late 30s, I would tell you I was dying.
Yeah.
And then I would call your daughter for advice.
Yeah. You're not dying, Ben. I don't know who you are, but you're not dying.
Not dying.
Dad, one of your weird friends is calling again.
Just talk him down, honey. Just talk him down.
Now, did you get injured a lot as a kid?
No. I broke my both arms at separate occasions. Yeah. One was ice skating and one was just clowning around on a wall.
Yeah.
Clowning around on a wall.
Yeah.
Like attempting to climb it?
It was a wall in my driveway. Does that make sense, right?
Yeah,
you can
like
picture
a
wall
like
around your driveway.
Like sure. Like, did it separate your driveway from your neighbor's house?
It was kind of like almost like a sunken driveway. And so the wall held up the grass around it.
Oh,
and
yes, that makes sense.
But it was pretty high.
Yes, yeah.
And I don't know. I just was running, clowning around.
Clowning around, yeah.
What don't you understand about clowning around on a wall, Madeline? You've never lived if you haven't clowned around on a wall.
Never clowned around on a wall.
And that's it. That was, and I was, I'm hyper allergic to poison ivy.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And that's gotten better over the years, but when I was a kid, it was really bad. I would get it in my mouth and under my eyelids and stuff like that.
Oh, and then it can get in your throat, like the inside of your body, right?
Yeah.
Ooh,
So you could die from it.
I guess so. Yeah. I was never told that. But,
right.
But now that you say that, I'm like, probably. So I had to take the oral cortisone, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Tasty stuff.
Because I feel like sometimes, I don't know. I did not get injured a lot as a kid, but, like, I had, like, a lot of, like, boy cousins who were, like, I feel like everybody was always getting their teeth pushed through their lips. Like, you know, like that felt like the classic, like, gory kid.
You grew up in a barbarian village.
Yeah. It was like not
pretty
so much
common.
Like an accident, but like it was like more of like a ritual. Were late for school, they'd push your teeth through your lip.
Cousin Org bit through his lip again.
And I was just, very good, so it never happened to me. But like, so I feel like sometimes I'm oversensitive to injuries because I wasn't like a rough little boy.
So you didn't get injured?
No, I hardly got injured at all.
I was a rough little boy.
Because you got, that's
were
what
you?
You're...
I mean, I definitely had...
I didn't mean to sound so surprised.
Yeah. No, I mean, I of course I was a rough and tumble young lad. I was picked on by all the lads. No, I got injured. Like, definitely I put my chin through a coffee table. Sliced my nose open. You can still see the scar on a pie eating contest. True story.
Rough and tumble.
Just a rough little boy.
A lot more tumble.
He's eating pies. You were sitting drinking coffee at a coffee table.
Oh, man. We were talking about the latest Woody Allen film. I fell right through the coffee table. I said, you're missing the ball. No, but definitely a lot of like, I've got like a scar on my forehead from taking a ping pong net. The metal part of the ping pong net stuck in my head.
Ugh.
Did slice my nose open with a pie tin. Did fall through several coffee tables. Did jump off of a platform onto what I thought was an inflated raft that was not inflated. Fractured my collarbone.
Wait, the inflated raft was on the ground?
Yeah, on the ground. I was doing the Randy Macho Man Savage flying elbow drop, and
no!
I just connected with the ground. Dislocated the no, oh. not so dislocated, fractured the shoulder, had my finger kicked out of the socket in I guess I would say I tumbled quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I was around a lot of rough people.
Rough and tumble.
But it was mostly accidents. It wasn't like fighting, it wasn't gangland violence.
I mean, that's what my dad would like you to tell to tell you that it was all accidents. I just fell down occasionally. That he was a good daddy. No, they were all. It was all just being stupid, playing rough. Yeah,
yeah.
Wait, so your dad is a theologian?
Yeah, he taught theology at Vanderbilt. He just retired.
Oh, cool. So did you grow up religious or no?
Yeah.
What kind of religious?
You mean like what kind of church did I go to?
Yeah. What flavor of religion?
Methodist.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
What kind of Methodist? Well, because it's like, because I grew up like
Southern
in a very north, like I grew up, my dad was raised very Catholic, but then he stopped being Catholic. And then I grew up in a Methodist church that was just like basically like a club and a theater almost. Like it was like, you know, the looseest, gooseest Methodist church.
Yeah. It was pretty liberal. And it was, we went to the, to a inner city church that was more diverse. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So then did you grow up believing in heaven?
Yeah, for sure. I don't know that I've decided that heaven doesn't exist. I don't know that I've really had that conversation with myself.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't, certainly don't think of it in the way that most people do.
Yeah.
I mean, the most very religious people do.
So
that
happens. Was there a point when you like decide, because you, well, I just am curious because you mentioned that you are not like a religious family.
Yeah.
Was there a point where you decided I'm not, like I don't identify as a Methodist anymore? I don't, like, are you an atheist?
No, I would say I'm on the agnostic scale. My dad hates that term.
Yeah.
And he will listen to this podcast.
Oh, okay. Great.
Nice.
I was on
hi, Madeline's aunt.
Yeah, hi,
hi,
Aunt Kathy. Hi, what's your dad's name?
I was on Will Hines and Anthony King's podcast, and they talked about theology.
Oh.
And I said on the podcast, like, I hope my mom doesn't hear this.
Yeah.
And then they posted on Facebook, and then she commented, I did hear it. And then my dad sent me a nice email about it. They were cool about it.
This is actually Johnny's first podcast since his grounding
ended. Yeah.
I got let off the podcast ban.
Yeah.
I don't know that we had to go to church until we were 16, my brother and I.
Uh-huh.
And then we're allowed to kind of make our own choices.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I go visit them, I still do because it's important to them.
Yeah.
And I have a generally positive view of the church.
Yeah.
Because I had a good experience with it growing up.
Yeah.
But in terms of being having a lot of faith and a lot of belief in the Bible, I don't have that.
Yeah. What's interesting to me how much, I guess, like religion is connected to our ideas of what happened when you die. Like, because that's not like, I also had like a pretty positive experience, like growing up, you know, around the church, and don't really like go anymore. But it was like not at all about death. Like it wasn't like we didn't talk a lot about like, you know, what, like where you go when you die. It was all very much about just like how to live a better life and how to be nice to people. It was like, and that's, so it's interesting to me that, that an enormous part of religion is about what happens when you die.
Yeah.
Cause it's not a connection I intuitively
I remember
make.
Being young, pretty young and thinking that hell was a pretty silly idea.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's a, I think hell's a silly idea. And I also like the idea of heaven's a silly idea because I think anywhere you go forever has got to get boring. Like, you know, the idea of like heaven as a place, I think is like, it's just such a silly idea when you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
I guess I'm like also, do you know the, there's a quote from Carl Sagan's wife about what happened after Carl died, you know?
And what is it?
I don't know. I could not even paraphrase it. But it's something about, like, I don't believe that we'll ever see each other again.
Yeah.
And that he's become part of the stars now or something like that. That is, like, maybe a little too far for me, you know? Like, I don't believe that there is some sort of supernatural connection, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to go all the way.
I don't think
to
I
that.
Am either.
Yeah.
To that, you
I mean,
know?
I think for me at least, it's in part that I need to believe that, like, the experiences that I'm having with the people that I'm closest to mean something, that they aren't just, like, arbitrary encounters with people that were particularly close to me, but that, like, for some reason I was drawn to people and that whether it's in, you know, in some form that's similar to this one on some, like, higher plane, or it's just that, you know, I'll take on that my energy will come into some different mass that like that the same energies will be attracted to each other. And that seems like sort of like what I was talking about with my grandma dying, that it's just like that's a more beautiful idea of life. When we, you know, especially when we talk about like as opposed to all these concepts about death, that like that feels more like death as a component of life as opposed to this like separate idea that we'll die and then whatever happens after. Like that's not after, it's a part of all of this.
Yeah.
Like death, life, birth.
Yeah.
Those three.
When our dog died, I told Janie that you carry around your dog in your heart forever.
Yeah.
You know, and I could still feel my dog when I was a kid, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's where I carry my bullet.
So I think there's more to it than we just become dust again.
Yes. Yeah. You know?
I learn all of my life lessons from children's movies now.
Oh yeah.
And there's a movie called Book of the Dead, which is a good movie.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing like the billboards for that.
Children? Book of the Dead?
Yeah.
Huh.
And it's about the I guess is it Mexican? Now I don't know anything about it other than this movie, which is it's like learning about Native American history from Pocahontas. It's a terrible idea. But the dead go to the underworld, and if you're remembered by your family, then you have this sort of more like heaven experience.
Yeah.
And as soon as you're forgotten, you go to the forgotten land.
Oh.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying.
That's very scary.
But it's kind of an interesting idea. Like that's our connection to death should be remembering people, and that way we're still connected to them.
That's still sort of like weirdly fear-based, though, because I feel like it would make you compulsively want to, like, remember every one of
so
your family.
Candles.
Yeah, you're like, oh, no, if I, like, forget one person, they'll, like, like go off into the
forgotten land. I agree. There's a threatening part to it that I don't like, but there is a nice part to it.
There's a threatening part to it that I do like. It's like live a better life if you want me to hold on to you longer. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to the bad place.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can keep you in the good place. And I want people as they're dying to remember that. I can keep you in the good place.
Yeah.
From this conversation, to me, it feels like you live your life without a great deal of fear. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah. Other than like waking up at 3 a.m. and worrying about an earthquake or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
Generally, like if I'm active and I'm doing stuff and I'm not on Facebook and
couple questions. So have you always felt like that, or is it a thing that you like? Because we've interviewed a lot of people who are like, "Oh, I used to be so scared all the time, or, you know, and now I do this, and this." Or do you think it's more of just
Those people are so bullshit, by the way. I mean, I love them. They've been great guests and everything. But no,
name names. Who are you talking about? Michael?
I'm talking Justin Michael. Get in here and defend yourself, boy. I just think that that's just as much a component of fear. And then the people say that they're not afraid anymore. But it's just like if going to the gym 5 days a week is what keeps you from being like afraid of your own mortality.
I feel like we've talked to people who have genuinely like had a true change of heart and who have like, you know, I'm not talking about someone being like, I go to the gym now, I'm never going to die. But like, you know, I feel like people have had interesting stories about like becoming more adjust. Like, I feel like I have, you know, in my life. I mean, I'm still full of fear constantly, but I feel like all the time I'm you know, like whatever, just like learning better ways to like, you know, be a person who feels like I'm in like a good groove in my life. Like, do you feel like you had a change of heart at a certain point, or do you feel like you were like
kind of
built that way?
It kind of like, as I said, when I had kids, it kind of got worse, but in different ways, you know. I think I fear like not getting what I want out of life more than I fear death.
Right. Mm.
And that would make sense that why Facebook is a thing to avoid.
Then you're just kind of reminded all the time, like,
sure.
Is this life?
It's horrible.
It seems terrible.
Yeah, it's very bad.
One of the things that pushes your buttons the most on Facebook? Like something that I'm trying to think of. Like, there's certain things that like just fill me with like a physical sense of dread. And then,
yeah, that's a good question. I think sometimes it's jealousy, you know.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just like it feels so vapid.
Yeah.
It feels like we're really wasting a lot of time.
Yeah.
And energy on a fake conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be, I feel like I used to, Facebook used to make me sad because I would get jealous a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now recently, yeah, I feel like it's been making me sad because it seems so pretend.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe the algorithm has changed. Like, I think it's just like the way people have used Facebook or like, because I feel like, I mean, 5 years ago, it was mostly like, you know, pictures of things you weren't invited to and like people getting cool things that like you wish you could get.
Yeah.
Now I feel like maybe because people repost articles so much and like there's like so much discussion about it, mm-hmm. it feels like, I don't know, just what I see has shifted. Either I've become better able to cope with jealousy or
and
it's
your life
different.
Is great.
Or I guess maybe my life is just great. But I don't
everyone's
know if you feel like
of you,
that. Yeah.
Madeline. That's what's going on.
Everyone is really jealous of me.
That's certainly true.
Yeah.
But I also just think like the discussions are
they're not.
They make me depressed.
They make me too.
We're just grinding.
Yes.
That's all we're doing is grinding.
Yes.
And I'm so much happier when I'm able to just look at it once a day.
Yeah.
See a nice baby picture.
Yeah.
See something nice happen to a friend and then just ignore it. And there should be no comment sections, I think.
No.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
No.
It's just in life.
Yeah.
People shouldn't be commenting.
Yeah.
Well, Ben, like not this Ben, my husband Ben, he made this folder on his phone.
The good Ben.
The good Ben.
Fuck you.
He made it, like a couple months ago, he made a folder on his phone. Like, he like put it on like the last possible page and it's like a little like folder called just happiness ? And that's where he put like his email, his Facebook and his Instagram, like all the things that, so now whenever he goes to check one of them, he has this like reminder being like, is this gonna make you happy right now?
That's great.
Thought it was a really good idea.
Yeah good Ben is really smart.
Yeah
Fuck both of you. Zig, me and you, you're all I got.
Ben and I are both experiencing ant problems in our house.
Uh oh.
And I don't know why.
Not A-U-N-T?
No, just A-N-T. We both have ant infestations and both live in very different parts of town. It feels like it's a trend. I don't know why, but we wanted to know how you feel about bugs.
We have a right around mid August to end of October, we have a housefly infestation.
Always.
So I'm very in tune to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I hate
the really tiny ones?
Yeah. I guess they're just small. Yeah.
Because I went
not like fruit flies.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no,
not like horse flies.
I went
flies,
from tiny flies to ants in like 1 week it was tiny flies. What? The next week it was ants, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a low-grade set of plagues.
Yeah.
Like tiny flies, ants, like you'll stub your toe a bunch.
Yeah. So it's always been this way at your house in August?
Yeah. They come around, and part of it is that we have two dogs, and there's dog shit all over the backyard.
Right. Oh, yeah. Flies love dog shit.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so I buy those horrible for the environment plastic bag fly traps.
Yeah.
That you just throw away, and then they live in a landfill forever. And probably get out to the ocean. I hate them. I hate it. I can't live like this.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No, flies are maddening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had fleas. One summer, and it was a horrible nightmare. It was like we thought it was from our cat, but then we realized they were everywhere. And like every time we would like walk out of our apartment complex, our legs would be covered with fleas, like because our whole complex was infested outdoors with fleas.
Oh my God!
It wasn't bed bugs level madness, but it felt like the sort of little brother to the bed bugs.
Yeah, you'd rather have
madness.
Fleas than
bed bugs. Any day of the week. Yeah. But it was like a similar thing where like when we walked in the house, we would have to like spray our clothes with this weird spray. Like you just had to cross so many T's and dot so many I's and still there would be like fleas all over your pants when you like got in your car. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what's the dilemma about the ants that I can help with? Is it
Mostly we were just curious because it feels like houses with like kids and animals, like bugs kind of come with the territory. Yeah.
Which I have neither. Yeah. So it's an odd theory for you to come up with. Based on the two of us.
But do you feel guilty about killing them?
No.
We just.
I've never felt guilty about killing anything.
No. Oh my God. This got real.
Well, we got an exterminator like came and sprayed outside. Mm-hmm. But then not inside because it wasn't bad inside. And then once he sprayed outside, it got bad inside.
Oh, they just moved in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What a terrible exterminator.
Do you feel bad about killing him?
No.
No, yeah. No. It's
weird. I don't either.
My brother is the kind of guy that does, like, take a bug outside.
Yeah.
And I actually do that with spiders.
Sure.
Just, I'm very discriminatory. Yeah. Like, they're bugs.
I know. It's almost worse to just say, I'll kill any bug. Like, this one's more valuable.
Yeah. I like this guy.
Yeah.
You sweet little cricket. Fuck you, flies.
Yeah.
You're basically the same thing, but I smite you.
Well, would you like to play a game about bugs?
Yes.
Great. Thanks. Great. Let's play a game. Okay, so this is a game. I've been finding some fun quizzes on WebMD.
Oh, you've got great time on your hands.
Oh, yeah. WebMD, it's fun. WebMD has more than just...
WebMD is fun.
It
That's
is.
The thing you just said.
Yeah, WebMD is fun. Like well, it. We also... a couple weeks ago, we played a game that was the CDC website has games.
Oh.
Do you know that?
No, I didn't know.
Well, if you're ever, I mean, you have kids, so if they ever want to play a fun game, you go to the CDC's website, and there's a game called Stop the Outbreak, where it's like you answer questions about an outbreak. I think we play that on one of our episodes, but anyway. All these fun medical websites, turns out they have games. Okay, so this quiz. Yeah, okay, it's not a quiz is more accurate. It's not a game.
Okay.
It's a quiz.
That's
and the
fine.
Quiz is, are you a bug magnet?
Okay.
So we're going to find out if you're a bug magnet.
All right. I love it.
So question one. There are 12 questions. Long quiz. What makes you a mosquito magnet? A, some clothing colors. B, specific tones of voice. Or C, how you look.
Oh.
It's kind of an interesting,
Are we competing?
No.
Do you know these?
No, I don't know.
No, you don't know. But we're gonna determine whether you, Johnny Meeks, are a bug magnet. But you're allowed to get assistance.
Oh, I'm not playing this game.
I mean, it's
you, terrible person.
Excuse me. No, you can. Yeah, okay. You can also play this game.
Can you go over the options again?
Yes. Some clothing colors is A, B, specific tones of voice, or C, how you look.
I would have thought none of those.
Yeah. I'm going to go with A.
A, okay. I'll write them down. We'll see who wins.
Clothing colors?
Were we having a discussion, or did I just...
No.
I just ditched the discussion.
No, well, you guys can compete.
Okay. What is A again?
Clothing.
Nice, you're playing like I play.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't retain any.
Nice. Yeah, I can't retain it either. Also, I don't listen, so I'm not.
There are 12 questions.
I'm
going to
go with tone of voice.
So you think it's clothing colors. You think it's tone of voice.
I don't think that's right, but I'm going to say it.
You're going to say? Okay, specific tones of voice. That's incorrect. The correct answer is some clothing colors. So, Ben...
My first answer.
One
correct.
Point.
Why did I feel like I had to have a different answer than you?
Oh my God!
I mean, you don't necessarily, but probably because it seems like I'd be wrong. in life, it feels like I would be wrong about things.
Scientists are. This is kind of interesting, though. Scientists are still figuring out why some people are appealing to mosquitoes, but the answer seems to include everything from the color of your clothes to whether you're pregnant.
Oh yeah, I would guess that one for sure.
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
I mean, because that seems.
Double blood.
Yeah, right. And there's just something, I mean, we've all seen a pregnant lady looking all sweet.
Okay.
gross.
That's my mosquito impression.
Oh, that's... Okay. What may make you more appealing to yellow jackets? A, playing slow-moving sports like croquet.
Mm-hmm.
B, grilling burgers and hot dogs. Or C, sitting still in the shade.
A, playing slow-moving jazz music.
A.
Playing slow-moving sports like croquet? Okay, both
that's the only one I
A.
listen. That's the only one I listen to.
No!
What were the other options? I'm going to guess again.
The other options are grilling burgers and hot dogs or sitting still in the shade.
And it's grilling burgers and hot dogs.
Yeah.
I would think they would want to avoid the heat.
Yeah, I would think they want to avoid the heat, too.
No. Yellow jackets like protein-rich and sugary foods.
Huh.
I never knew that. Did you? Sugar would have made sense, but not protein.
No. Yeah. But I think the verb grilling threw us off.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were eating a burger and drinking a lemonade, then I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
You say one. Yellow right. jacket, come on over.
Can you leave that in the comment section?
Yeah, I'll leave it in the comment section. Like, if they had mentioned proto-loading, I would have known it for sure.
So none of you get any points. Fire ants might be attracted to your house by low-frequency vibrations, strong smells like chlorine, or uneaten pet food.
Mm.
What do fire ants like? Low-frequency vibrations. I guess what? Like
I think
refrigerators?
We should eliminate the competition and join forces, and then whatever answer we
Who
give
are we competing
is correct.
Against?
No, we'll be competing against no one except Madeline.
Well, yeah, you're competing against... I think the game will tell you at the end whether you're a bug magnet or not.
Oh, okay. I'm going
to
go
I don't know what your knowledge has to do with whether you're a bug magnet, but...
C, bug magnet.
Chlorine smell seems weird that would make them...
Yeah. It seems like a bug wouldn't want chlorine, right?
And I think they want us to pick pet food.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I did pick.
But I think it might be a vibration.
I think we should go for vibrations.
So you're saying the pet food's a trap.
But I also think that maybe the chlorine is like a red herring. But it's not a red herring.
Right.
It's a reverse red herring.
It's a pink elephant.
But I'm going to go with A.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. We feel good about A?
I said C.
Okay. C is correct. Uneaten pet food.
Good job going with the most obvious.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Occam's razor, man. Hits you every time.
Fire ants are drawn inside by poor sanitation, moisture, and pet food. Huh.
I'm 0-for so far.
Yeah.
I can't believe I've gotten
But we can edit this one out and do a... Or just redo it.
After, we'll redo it and you'll get all of them right. Roaches. Well, I hate roaches. Zig and I were just talking about this before.
Right, tell us how you really feel.
I hate them. They're more likely to move in to your house during winter, summer, or fall. Ugh, I can't even think
winter.
About it. You said that really definitively. Why? Yeah.
Because it's cold.
That is a good point.
Who wouldn't want to move in? But maybe it's fall. Like maybe they know winter's coming.
Oh, right. Like Game of Thrones. Yeah. I'll go with summer because they're hungering for that sweet AC.
Okay. So, okay. Winter versus summer. The correct answer is summer. Ben, you've honestly never won a game before.
You are a bug magnet.
Yeah, you're a bug magnet.
Or maybe he's not. Maybe it's the opposite because he knows this stuff.
I'm a
Roaches
bug
Roaches like
magnate.
To come inside when it's hot. Mm. So kind of the same logic.
Yeah.
But it turns out they're okay.
They like it when it's cold.
They're a big winter bug.
Yeah.
They love skiing. They love sledding.
Yeah. They like sweaters.
Here's another fun fact. Not only can roaches spread diseases like gastroenteritis, but their droppings can trigger allergy symptoms. Help prevent roach invasions by sealing doors and windows so they can't get in.
Great.
Fun fact.
That's your mosquito.
when are you most likely to get bitten by a tick? I don't like these options because they're not mutually exclusive.
Oh, that's the Lyme's disease. Lyme disease one.
Yeah. During a nature hike. While mowing the lawn or when you're sweaty. Doesn't that feel like...
You're sweaty in all those scenarios.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a bad question. Where are the comments?
I'll say... Johnny, you go first.
I'm going to say mowing the lawn. I've just been wrong, so I'm going against my
So you don't think that's right?
No.
What do you think is...
Well, the obvious one is going on a hike.
I'll take the third answer then.
You're sweaty?
Yeah, from now on, let's eliminate the Occam's razor answer, and we'll choose between the
while mowing
answers.
The lawn or when you're sweaty.
I'll go sweaty.
Well, the correct answer was during a hike.
That's what I wanted to say.
Well, you should have said it. You should have trusted your instinct.
No, I think you did. I think you get a point for that.
Thanks, Ben. Thank you.
I'll also take a
I've break. Really come around on you. Thank
you. Okay, what kind of weather will drive a scorpion inside? Rainy weather, cold weather, or dry weather? Will drive a scorpion
insane.
Inside?
Rainy. I want to say rainy is what I want to say. I'm really down on this quiz.
No, you really don't. You really don't. You're not a bug man.
What number are we on?
We're honestly, we're only on six.
Oh.
I know, it's terrible.
Could be watching TV.
You're playing a fun game on WebMD.
Let's watch some TV. What drives bugs insane? What was it? Something like that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was my
what
answer.
What kind of weather will drive a scorpion inside?
Oh, sweaty.
Okay, I'm going to interpret that in your as rainy.
Oh, rainy was. I think that's synonymous with sweaty.
Finally. You guys both get it.
We got it.
Finally.
Congrats. Johnny,
I'm on the
you're
board.
In the game. Do you feel? Ooh.
Turns out we
this
don't have to.
This is a fun question. Earwigs like to get inside your house via A, fresh laundry, B, pets, or C, your ears.
Oh, man. I really hope it's your ears.
Earwig is like a bug that looks like a little, kind of like a stick.
Yeah, I think so.
Zig, can you show what an earwig looks like? Ah! Oh, gross. Ooh, they're gross.
Ears.
Okay, ears. What do you think, Ben? Oh.
Laundry.
Fresh laundry.
That's correct.
Why would it be fresh laundry?
Earwigs may look fierce. Because
earwigs are fresh to death, kid.
Oh, their name. Wait, this is pretty interesting. That earwigs stop.
No,
no one likes it. Everyone is hitting unsubscribe right now.
Thank God. Free us from this
tyranny of
earwigs.
People liking
don't actually bite, and they're called earwigs from a superstition that they crawl in your ears at night. Mm. But they actually just eat dead plants.
Why did that picture show ears?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh. That's my favorite superhero.
So, Ben, okay, we're 5-1 here.
Let's reverse the scores.
Oh, ladybugs are likely to swarm around a house if it's in the shade, or if it has contrasting colors, or if it's near a large water source. Mm. These questions are fascinating.
Are they?
I think it's really interesting to learn what an earwig does and doesn't do.
Contrasting colors, large water source, and what?
Or the shade.
Oh, I thought there was something about ladies.
This is about ladybugs.
Oh, right. It's not like a house that's full of ladies.
No.
I'll go with that answer. D.
Ladies
a house that's full of ladies.
It's not an option.
Sorry. The BBC original show, House of Ladies. I'll go with what was it? Shady? Shade?
Yeah,
shade.
I was going to say shade, okay. Too.
We'll say shade.
Guys, the correct answer is contrasting colors.
Oh.
Isn't that insane? They're drawn to contrasting surfaces, like dark shutters against a lighthouse, for example. That's so weird that ladybugs care about colors. Oh, this is a good question for a dad. Why do kids get head lice more often than adults? A, because they have frequent head-to-head contact. B, because they play in the dirt more often. Or C, they don't wash their hands as often.
I think it's C.
Yeah, I don't believe it's the head-to-head contact one.
Yeah,
and
that's bizarre.
I was not listening to B, so I'll go with B.
Go with B?
Yeah.
B is they play in the dirt more often?
Yeah, I'll go with they play in the dirt more.
The correct answer is frequent head-to-head contact.
I believe that. That was going to be my first choice.
Really? Are they always rubbing their heads together?
No, but they're just bumping into each other all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I guess they're also like rolling or
yeah.
Like that's rolling true. Around on the ground. Yeah. They only lice can't jump or fly. They just spread by head-to-head contact and between like towels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay, fleas are most likely to invade your home when it's hot and humid, cool and dry, or hot and dry.
Ben, I'm looking at you.
You mean like I'm a flea? Or yeah. Like I should have the answer first? I'll say hot and dry.
I'll say hot and humid.
Okay. Hot and humid is correct.
Nice.
One more for Johnny. 2-5.
Thank God.
Bed bug bites can look like a rash, a bee sting, or mosquito bites.
A rash.
What was a bee?
A bee sting.
Oh. Yeah. I would have guessed none of the above. So I'll say.
That's not an option.
I guess I'll say.
Okay, you know, for making that noise,
take away eight,
I'm taking
eight
away
points.
A point. So now you only have 4 points.
I don't care. B.
Bee stings? What do you say, John?
I said a rash.
A rash? Okay. Both of you are wrong. It's they look like mosquito bites.
But just the tiniest ones? Right? Because aren't they little?
No. For those, well, not everyone reacts to the nip of bed bugs, but for those who do, a small red area may resemble a mosquito bite. I thought they were littler.
Yeah, I thought they were little too.
Yeah. Okay, last question. Why are fruit flies so I'm going to take that at face value. It sounded very earnest. Why are fruit flies so common in summer? Because they like dry weather and bright sun? Or because they're attracted to overripe produce? Or because they usually breed in June and July?
C.
Nope. Because they're attracted to overripe produce. I thought that was a red herring question.
I did too. That's what I wanted to say. I was like, but there's overripe produce in November.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, don't you get
just
produce?
Oh, but I guess out in the world, there's more overripe produce. Mm.
Oh.
Like naturally in the summer.
I was thinking of my own kitchen.
Yeah. Well,
apples.
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 Bad apples.
So no need to check in with the score. This is great, guys.
Ben, even though you were docked a point for making a mosquito noise with your mouth.
That wasn't me. That was a mosquito.
It was not a mosquito.
What?
You have 4 points. Johnny, you have a noble 2.
Johnny is packing up his thing.
Where's my bag?
I would say...
You need my bag.
Neither of you is too much of a bug magnet.
That's a good thing,
which is
though,
a good thing.
Right?
So, so you
we should have been bad.
You both you win. Actually,
so, Johnny won
Johnny
by
wins
being less
by
of
not
a bug
being
magnet.
A bug magnet.
Congrats,
thanks, man.
Yeah, Johnny, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. This was really fun.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's such a dark and depressing topic.
Yeah,
yeah, it is. Yeah.
We did our best with it.
I think so. Hey, I feel like you're talking to me in my softball game, but I'm bad at softball.
Yeah, get out there and do it for your dad.
Would you really say that? Would you tell her to do it for your dear old dad?
That would be meaningless.
Nice. Thanks so much,
well,
Johnny.
Thank you for thanks for listening, Aunt Kathy and Mr. Meeks.
Yeah. Dr. Meeks.
Dr. Meeks. Oh, I'm so sorry.
The Reverend Doctor.
The Reverend Dr. Meeks.
The Reverend Dr. Meeks. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's our most esteemed listener. Nice.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.